This is from Isaiah 30. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And the historical context is that Israel has, instead of waiting and listening to the Lord, they have started discussing and asked for help from the king in Egypt. And they have joined him. They have gone into an unholy alliance with the king in Egypt. Instead of waiting and trusting the Lord and his help and his guidance. Because they didn't have time and they didn't have patience to wait for him. And then the Lord is calling them. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And nearly my whole adult life or working life, I have now and then strongly been reminded of these verses here. We will look at the following verses as well, the passage here. Because I am not naturally a very slow and calm and relaxed person. I rather rush forward. And especially when I was younger, I was even more impatient and even restless. And I'd rather rush forward, try to do as many things as possible at the same time, and rush forward quickly. So many, many times I've been reminded of these verses. Repent, be still, and then you will have strength. And then the verses continue here. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. And this is such a tragicomic picture, I think, in the middle of this very serious and challenging prophetic words to Israel. But I can so picture these flying horses or fleeing horses, and it's a tragic comic picture, I think. And the Lord also says, therefore your pursuers will be swift. And when I read these verses, I associate to my practical attitude to time. And this is very metaphorical reading. This is not about what it is in this context. But it is if I can earn time, I think. I rush forward, and then I think I will have more time in the end. But that is not how it works, I have understood. So when one thinks one can earn time, and one thinks if I rush, one just understands it is as if the time goes quicker. But when I take it easy, when I slow down, it is as if I have oceans of time. I think that is such a funny equation. And I wish you could read a wonderful children's book, but it's in German. And I don't think, I have really tried to find that in English. It's translated to Swedish, which I am from Sweden. But it's called Momo, if I translate it then. Momo and the Battle of Time. And that's a fairy tale for children, but it's even better as if you are an adult to read it. Because it is really, I think, a prophetic word about our time. It is about Momo, the little girl, and how can see that the time is smoked up by men in grey costumes. I really would love you to read that, but it's difficult if you can't read German. Anyway, back to Isaiah. And this is, as I say, a historical political situation where they made decisions the Lord clearly didn't want them to do. And it also is a reminder for everyone in every time, the foolishness of rushing forward in our own strength. And one just needs to stop and walk with the Lord in his strength and in his time. And the verses we just read are followed by this wonderful promise. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. We need to focus on Jesus and the relationship with him, rather than the fruit or ourselves. That is also a temptation. We focus on the fruit or the lack of fruit, or ourselves and our own ability. But the calling is to hold on to Jesus, to trust Jesus, to have faith in Jesus in our everyday life, to live with him, walk with him, work with him. Our duty is to remain in Jesus. That is our job, to remain in Jesus. So he is both our Savior, but also the one who makes us holy. We are dependent on him for the salvation, but also for everyday life and work. And what is fruit? I know most of us have a more or less clear idea what fruit is. And I just want to sum it up with saying it is about who we are and what we do. It's both about Christ-likeness, about our character, of course. We know in Galatians 5, it talks about fruit of the Spirit, which is about love and peace and joy, etc. So it's both about who we are and what God wants to do in us, the transformation in us. But it also is, I always think it's very difficult to put that very shortly, but fruit has, of course, to do with work or ministry. The outcome, the fruit of our effort, or how one can put it. So it has to do everything with what we are and what we do, and the outcome, so to speak. And Jesus says, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So he wants us to bear fruit, and much fruit as well. And in the chapter before John 15, where we are now, he talks so much about the Holy Spirit. And this, and friendship with Jesus, connection and be deeply rooted in Jesus means automatically friendship with the Holy Spirit. We can't separate these two. Friendship with Jesus means friendship with the Holy Spirit. And we are called to walk and work in the power of the Holy Spirit. And fruit has everything to do with the Spirit and his presence and his power in our lives. So he needs to do this in us. But of course, we need to be open for him and what he wants to do, as in any relationship. It's not that he's forcing himself on us or into us. We need to be open for him, to seek the Spirit, to invite him, of course, and be available for what he wants to do in us and through us. And I just have one very practical suggestion when it comes, because I really know that many of us struggle with this gap between the ideal, how God wants us to be and what he wants us to do, and the lack of that in our lives. Of course, some of you are probably super fruitful and holy. But many of us, some of us, me, mainly me probably, can very clearly see the lack or the gap between what God wants me to be and do and what I can see in my life. And I think that is a cause for stress for many people and a reason for why we push harder and try to be better, try to have more joy, more love. But my suggestion is that when we realize lack of fruit, for example, lack of love for someone, or more people than one maybe, or joy, lack of joy or lack of peace, instead of trying to force love, joy, peace in our life, acknowledge that first and foremost. Speak truth about your life and come with the truth to Jesus. Speak truth to yourself. Admit, I can see the gap here. Be honest, and to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness when that is needed, but also ask him to fill you with love. I think that is the way in this situation when Jesus so clearly wants us to bear fruit and we see very often the lack of fruit. We just need to acknowledge who we are and what we can see in our life. Otherwise, it will be very shallow and very hypocritical. And there is so much more which can happen when we open ourselves to God. First and foremost, ask for forgiveness when that is needed, but also ask him to fill you with love, because that will be so much stronger and more powerful than try to press our muscles to produce love and peace. And Mary, at this wedding in John 2, you know, the first sign, as John explained it, when they ran out of wine. So Mary, she just said to Jesus, they have no wine. She doesn't wind herself or him up or try to tell him what to do and how to do this. She just come to him and say, they have no wine. And that is a really powerful prayer to him, I think, to come with a lack to Jesus and say, I'm so sorry, I experience I don't have the love here which I need. Please give me love. Yeah. And then to the application of these words in the Bible. I think this is applicable in every work and life situation. It's not just for church ministry or Christian ministry. It is for everyone in the workplace, taking care of children, taking care of home, in everyday life, in marriage, parenting, in the neighborhood, wherever we are in work and life. I think this is applicable, this theme, to work from a place of rest. And I have a few suggestions. And again, I have two parts. So first, rest in work, and then rest from work. So first and foremost, rest in the work. So this is something I really work with in myself, as you understand. What I said in the beginning, I said, it doesn't come natural to me, and I always need to just receive these words about be still, repent, come back to the Lord, wait for the Lord, and then you will have strength. So I work with this in my life, and I try to apply these things, which I now will say. So I try, but I need to use all my willpower to do that, but to work in a restful and peaceful way, and to slow down a bit and not always be super effective and do things quickly and rush forward and do a lot of things at the same time. But I try to work, and I also try to think about people I know who do that, because I know people who always walk slowly and not rush as I do. They walk and they talk slowly, and I try to learn from them and try to do things thoughtfully instead of doing a quick decision and run. So that's my prayer, and I try to apply that in my life, and which also relates to this: stop, think, and pray before making quick decisions, which very often will be a poor and small decision, especially in my case. And it's very often then doable in my own strength, a quick decision. Then what God can do when he guides me is much bigger, much better, much more powerful. And it's easy to be overwhelmed by a workload or a difficult task. And the funny and not very helpful reaction or action or solution from our side is to work it out on our own, after our own mind, instead of slowing down, take it easy, and ask the Lord for guidance. I recently had that kind of situation when someone asked me, not in the church, someone from outside the church emailed me and said, I think the church needs to do these things. And I then directly think, okay, I just work this out very quickly. I email that person, I talk with that person, then sorted. And I really tried to think, this person has a really important question to the church, and I can't really work this out now. I need to ask the Lord and ask him, what can we do in this situation? It will be much bigger, much better when he guides us. Work in the Spirit and walk with the Spirit in our daily life. And I try to let the Spirit move me forward. I try to really lean back and let him move me forward instead of rushing in my own strength. And that can be very quick and swift if we let him do that, and much more powerful. And that is also the reason for the picture on the invitation, the hang glider. For what is it which carries this hang glider and move it forward? You have the picture on your table. It is the wind. The wind carries, the wind moves the hang glider forward. And both in Hebrew and Greek, the word for wind is also the word for the Spirit. So it is the wind. It is the Holy Spirit who carries us and moves us forward. But we also need to lean back and let him, instead of running forward 2 centimeters before him. And so I pray every day. I pray every day, help me to see what you are doing, and help me to step into what you are doing and cooperate with you. And help me to understand what is the little thing you want me to do in the big thing you are doing. And that helps me very much. And it was as if I discovered that opportunity to pray like that some time ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I I very much try to pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? What shall I do? What is my calling in this situation? And it became too much focus on myself. What is the important thing I need to do in this situation? And then I discovered this wonderful prayer helped me to see what you are doing and helped me to understand what is the little thing which is my duty in the bigger thing you are doing. It's such more peaceful. And I have a totally new rest in that now compared to then. It didn't change immediately, but like a process. And I have a totally new rest in work. And also thinking in evangelism, sometimes we can feel, oh, I need to talk about Jesus, I need to say something, I need to ask, do you know him, do you know I go to church, and do you want me to share the gospel? But I really think all evangelism need to be done in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we close our eyes and are not aware what happens around us. But we just need to be open and available and ask the Lord, guide me, and be open for a conversation. And sometimes we can actually wait for people to come towards us instead of, Jesus, talk about, can I just mention? And instead, let people come to us with their questions or listen to the Spirit and if he just call us to take a step. And work as worship. Everything we do, we can do with an attitude of worship, and that affects how we do it. With that attitude comes a different pace when we work. So we can give our work as worship to the Lord. There was a monk in the 17th century in France called Brother Lawrence. And his quotes from him are put together in a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And I highly recommend that. And he is a role model in this. So he needed to work in the kitchen for many, many years, as I understood it. He rather did the gardening, but he was placed in the kitchen. But he learned to love that work, and especially to do that as worship. And I think he's famous for saying that he felt as peaceful and close to God in the chapel as when he was working in the kitchen. And this lovely quote I very often use, we can do little things for God. I turn the little omelette in the pan for love of him. I think that is so beautiful. And again, when I really try to be conscious in this, I really try to see my work as worship, and that really affects my attitude and how I do things, and also enjoy the work instead of rushing through the hard work which needs to be done, and then one can have a rest afterwards. Try to enjoy it. Very many of us have studied for ages or trained to become something, and now finally doing that, we need to enjoy that. We really wanted to work with this many people. But as this Brother Lawrence I also mentioned, he was not super happy to be in the kitchen because he rather did gardening, but he learned to love. And there are a lot of things I try to think, okay, I do this as worship now. Things, cleaning and things, which is not so fun. So I think even things we don't really enjoy, we can try to do that and enjoy it when we do that. And just think a little bit about what does it mean for you to work from a place of rest. We don't have very much time to talk about, but I just want to, I have done a lot of suggestions here how we can do this or apply it, but you need to think through how can you do this. We need the rhythm in life between work and rest. We can't work the whole time. Boundaries is really important. Boundaries between day and night, the different seasons. Our body is just an expression about that we, expression about that we have boundaries. We can't be everywhere the whole time, for example, and we can't work the whole time. And to rest is to acknowledge the boundaries for my own ability, for what I can achieve. And resting, when I rest from work, I practice trust in the Lord. God is God, I am not. He's in charge. We need to stop, remember who is the Lord. As it says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the church. I will be exalted in the earth. In the church, I nearly said. I will be exalted in the earth. In the church as well, of course. And the aim is to rest and stop because we need it. But also to reflect sometimes and try to see the whole picture. God's bigger picture and not just focus on our detail and our hard work. To lift our eyes and see the bigger picture and reflect over my life. How do I want to live my life? How do I actually live and how do I want to live my life? And listen to the Lord, be still in Him, receive from Him. And I also think it is important to sometimes be quiet and make a space to consciously be present with Him. Of course, we walk together with the Lord every day, the whole time. We can have a constant conversation and we are together with Him. It's not that we jump into His presence and then we jump out and work in our daily life. We are together with Him the whole time. But when we rest from work and make space and practice the discipline of quietness, we make us available for Him in a very particular way. And I think it's important also when we do that to sometimes just be still in His presence and not always come with prayer requests when we pray. Prayer is so very much, it is about a prayer, we ask Him, but it's also to just be with Him and be still and receive from Him and just be still in the Lord and know that He is the Lord. And also a possibility in these times, short or long times, when we are still with Him, to read the Bible prayerfully or like meditation, to chew on a shorter passage for a longer time. We can also read the Bible in many different ways, but it's important sometimes to eat the word, so to speak, and just focus on one little passage, and that is what we will do now. Thank you so much, dear Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word, your calling to us to just rest in you and your love. And we ask now for your guidance and your strength in our everyday life now when we soon walk out from here. Thank you that we walk together with you. We don't leave you here. We walk out together with you. And help us to be still in you, in our everyday life, in the midst of busy Oxford. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.